This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4SEASONS.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. This week, I'll be speaking with Ann Williams from Friends of the Poor and Linda Robson from Family to Family about their upcoming Christmas programs. I'll also be speaking with Jeffrey Lake about his foundation and his Unmasking Mental Health event coming up in February. A little later on, I'll speak with Megan Pastoria about GM and OnStar teaming up to connect with Santa. Then I'll speak with former Reagan administration member Lisa Gable on downsizing and government efficiency. And a little bit later on, Nancy and Jason speak with Bob Durkin from the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce, who has the local business community update. It's all coming up. Special Edition gets started right now. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. Guests in the studio, Ann Montura Williams from Friends of the Poor and Linda Robson from Family to Family. Back to kind of give us a recap first of how your Thanksgiving week went. I'm sure it was busy as all get out, so we'll get into that. We'll also talk about what's coming up in the next weekend and week ahead for Christmas. So good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning, Brian.
Great to have you back.
Thank you very much for having us.
Not a problem. So how did Thanksgiving week go?
Thanksgiving is great because we start the Thanksgiving process for us for that week the Monday before. So we had volunteers coming to prep for the dinner distribution. And we had so many volunteers that, again, we were done within 2.5 hours, 3 hours with everything that needed to be set up for the dinner for 3,500 the next day.
Wow.
On that Tuesday, all of the food came in. Everything was cut. We had great volunteers that packed bags that were on the buffet tables. And, again, 3,500 dinners, 1,500 of those that went to senior high-rise facilities. The other 2,000 went to people in the community in a drive-through or walk-up event at the cultural center. And then the next day was the absolutely fabulous Family to Family food basket program, where we had groceries for 4,000. But I'm going to give that to Linda, because that is her program.
Right.
Yes, and that went very, very smoothly. I mean, we had volunteers showing up at 5:30 in the morning to help us, because, of course, you have to set up tables. I mean, the tents and everything are set up the day before. But we had probably 2,000 bags packed and ready to go by 8:30, which was amazing. So it flowed very, very well. The volunteers are fantastic because, I mean, some did walk in and say, oh, it kind of looks like chaos. But then I saw what the flow was and I got it. because you have to imagine when you have, you know, probably, I don't know, 50 pallets of food and you're trying to undo that, it's all great. The great news is that we fed 4,000 families. The bad news is we still had people that were looking for food. So that was a little disheartening. But and we did run out of food early. We try and keep people updated. We try and ask them to come early. But overall, it was just a beautiful day. I mean, the volunteers tell me it's one of their favorite days as well, you know, because like I said, when we were here the last time, it's grandparents with grandchildren and, you know, siblings. And it's just a fantastic day.
Future generations of volunteers, it's all good.
Absolutely.
And it's fabulous. And school groups that come out and school groups that make this part of their school's community service. You know, we have schools. It's not just the local schools. We have schools from Wilkes-Barre that come. We have schools from Lackawanna Trail, Lakeland, schools from all over that come, church groups, business groups that now make this part of, you know, what they do for the holidays. It's fabulous.
That's great. Team building for businesses and service hours for kids. It all works out. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guests, Ann Montura Williams from Friends of the Poor, Linda Robeson from Family to Family. Okay, we talked about Thanksgiving. Now we have another holiday coming up, Christmas. So what's the story?
Christmas is just as busy because with Thanksgiving being so late, it's just everything is just running together. So beginning this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday is the Gifts for Kids program, which is a program between Friends of the Poor, the Catherine McCauley Center, and Catholic Social Services. Families need to register for this event, and right now we are prepared to provide toys to close to 5,000 children.
Wow.
So we do need volunteers for Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. If anyone is interested in volunteering, they just go to our website, which is www.friendsofthepoorscranton.com. Search for volunteers, and there is a sign-up calendar.
And what time does that get underway on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday?
Oh, Saturday is a load-in day. So that will be, you know, load-in for all of the toys that we have and, you know, and clothes and things like that. We're starting with volunteers that day at 9 o'clock in the morning.
All right.
And we will go to at least 5. And then the two distribution days are Sunday and Monday, and all of the families that registered have a specific distribution time to come to select their toys. And they will be paired with a volunteer or a staff member to go around and select the toys that they need for their children.
So if you're looking for a 9-to-5 gig, even for one day, you can definitely use it at Friends of the Poor.
Like I said, you know, we have weekends. So Saturday, Sunday, if you're looking for something and, you know, you work during the week, we would greatly appreciate your help.
Terrific. Linda, how about you?
So we're going to throw everybody off a little bit because we don't usually have our food giveaways on a Thursday, but our Christmas food giveaway is set for Thursday, December 19th, and kind of the same format as Thanksgiving. It's going to run from 9 until food runs out. We are prepared this Christmas to feed 4,000 people. The menu is a little bit different in that we have a ham instead of a turkey.
Okay.
And some different we still have potatoes and carrots and green beans. And then we also have either Christmas cookies or a pie. So it's a little bit of a variation there with some bread and things that you need. But the same thing, we're prepared for 4,000. We are looking for some volunteers first thing in the morning. They don't have to come at 5:30, but we do need some who can start by like 7 because.
But it wouldn't hurt if you get a few early birds.
Oh yeah, no. If they come, I'm going to be very, very happy to see
them. Now, this is also in front of the Scranton Cultural Center.
Yes, this is at the Scranton Cultural Center, and yeah, the exact same setup. You know, drive through and walk. People can walk up and everything.
Okay. And your event for Friends of the Poor, is that at the Friends of the Poor headquarters?
No, that is at our great community partner, the University of Scranton. So that is at the Byron Complex on the campus of the University of Scranton. And if families, anyone that had registered goes to our Facebook page, there are instructions on where to park and what to expect when they get there.
All right. Anything else either one of you want to add about what's coming up this coming weekend and then Thursday at the 19th?
Well, it doesn't pertain to that exactly, but we're still looking for funds. You know, this has been an expensive endeavor, you know, with Thanksgiving, you know, feeding all those families and then with Christmas. So if anybody can, we would really appreciate your donations. We're so grateful for every dollar that comes in, you know, and no amount is certainly too small. So if you can mail them to Family, P.O. Box 13, Scranton, Pennsylvania, 18503. Or you can, Ann will give you the email.
Or people, if they go to, again, our website, www.friendsofthepoorscranton.com, there is a make a donation link right in the upper right corner. You click on that and there's a drop down box and you hit, you know, Family to Family. And make your donation. And we truly are appreciative of the donations that come in. And we love when we see new donations, but we also like to see the donations that we receive from people who have supported us pretty much since the beginning of the program. So it's very humbling. So
we're coming up on 50 years, or is it longer than 50 years with Friends of the Poor?
It will be. We just did 48. This was 48.
Okay.
So,
I knew I was close.
That's it. And Family to Family is 38.
Yeah. And this I remember the Bernies ran that for quite some time.
And they still, trust me, they still keep up with it.
That's good.
She still is very encouraging and very grateful for carrying on her legacy. And, you know, we certainly are very indebted to them for entrusting us with this program.
Okay.
This is your 10th year doing it.
It is my 10th year.
Wow.
So it's all good.
Ian Williams.
Brian Hughes.
it's really early. I need more coffee.
No, it's all good. And again, volunteers needed, as Linda said, for the family event on the 19th. Volunteers needed for the Gifts for Kids program. Go to the website, and there's also a spot there. People have questions. You know, all of our contact information is there. So,
well, thanks once again, ladies, for coming in. We're happy to help you out in any way we can. And best of luck with the Christmas events. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to both of you.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, friend.
This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest today is Jeffrey Lake of the Lake Foundation, here to talk about his foundation and the cause of unmasking mental health. It's a big event coming up in February of 2025. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you.
Tell me about your foundation, how it got started, and why unmasking mental health is your main cause in life.
Yeah, so I started this foundation in 2023. Essentially, the backstory to it is just, you know, my personal mental health and my experience with mental health and those around me, whether it was addiction, mental illness, whatever. I've been touched by that throughout my life. So that's where it started.
Okay. Now, you got an event coming up. Is this the second annual event, Unmasking Mental Health? It's like a masquerade event?
This is actually the first annual.
Oh, it's the first. Okay.
Yeah, this is the first annual event. We're starting this as our annual gala to fundraise.
Okay. Now, where is this going to be held, and when's the date exactly?
So it'll be held at Constantino's Catering in Clark Summit. It's on February 26, 2025.
Okay. How were you able to put together this foundation? Was it do you have help from like a lot of other people? I imagine putting a foundation together is not really an easy thing for most people. So how'd you get started in doing it?
I actually did it all on my own.
Really?
Yeah, I was working full time as a nurse. I was going to school as an undergraduate psychology student and raising at the time 2.5-year-old.
Okay.
This was something that I started on the side, pieced together for a couple months. And then finally, after I got everything started and rolling, I started bringing in a little bit of help.
I was wondering, because usually it takes a village for like something this big to get a foundation rolling, but getting it started yourself, that's quite a bit of work. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest is Jeffrey Lake, CEO of the Lake Foundation. Here to talk about an event coming up in February of next year, Unmasking Mental Health. What was behind the whole masquerade event? Is it something that you're interested in, or just something unique that you were looking to do?
Yeah, so I'm a man of many interests, I would say.
Okay.
And one of them is fashion.
Right.
And so the fashion show aspect of it grew from that. I also tied the masquerade theme, which is also like an old interest of mine, mm-hmm. To the unmasking mental health, because we all mask our mental health. A lot of us do, at least.
Yeah, I can understand that. There are so many things out there people are going through, and they never really show that because they think they're being strong and keeping it all in. And in reality, you know, you need to kind of share it with somebody that you trust, at least, if not a trained professional in that area. So is that something that you had gone through for a while, or is it just something you just decided, I need to do something now and come up with this foundation idea?
No, so I would say the idea took a while to get to.
Okay.
When I was in nursing school, the idea of being a nurse, I knew I liked it, but I knew it wasn't quite enough for me. And I started searching for more. I started to pursue medical school, actually, with the interest of being in psychiatry. And that's where things started, was when I started finding psychiatry in that path. I didn't end up fully pursuing medical school. I switched routes to psychology because I learned I liked the therapy aspect of it, the human aspect of it, more than the medicine piece. And that's where this idea started to grow into, like, what can I do in my community to make a difference other than just be a professional?
One thing I found out, I took psychology at the University of Scranton many, many moons ago. I found out I've learned more about psychology just being in the workplace than I ever did in a classroom. And I'm sure you probably discovered that as well.
Yeah. I actually found my passion for therapy being a nurse in that workplace. I was rooming patients, getting them prepared for the doctor. And I found myself spending way too much time with them.
Right.
And I found the doctors getting annoyed that I was spending so much time with them, but it was because I was connecting with them and I was finding in them mental health issues other than the physical issues that they were coming there for.
So you're kind of like doing the pre-interview stage, whether it was part of your job description or not. I think you're probably getting something out of it, finding more about yourself even by talking with other people in that respect.
Oh, that's absolutely correct.
This is Special Edition. My guest this morning is Jeffrey Lake, the founder of the Lake Foundation, talking about Unmasking Mental Health, a masquerade event that is coming up on February 26, 2025 at Constantino's in Clark Summit. Now, you've got quite a few different packages regarding this event, from bronze host, silver, gold, event sponsor, premier sponsor. You want to tell me about that?
Yeah, so just looking to get some sponsorships for this event. The benefits to each of these packages vary from advertising your logo in our programming to getting tickets to the event, to a whole table to the event, to being able to speak at the event if you are a premier sponsor.
Okay, and I understand you've got a celebrity at the head of this event. That would be Jeremy Luan from WNEP.
That's right. Yeah, we were able to get Jeremy. He was very interested when we got in touch with him, and we're excited to have him.
He's an interesting guy. Not too many people would go on a cruise to Mexico to see an eclipse. So that's
I not got to too meet many. Jeremy. I would have been one of them.
Yeah. Oh, I would have too, just to go to Mexico. The heck with the eclipse. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest is Jeffrey Lake, here to discuss Unmasking Mental Health. Now, where can we get tickets for this event? Where can we find out more about the Lake Foundation?
So the Lake Foundation's website is lakefoundation.org. And all of the information is there, the link to our Eventbrite, where tickets can be purchased, and information about the event itself, description about the Lake Foundation and our mission. We also have a shop on the website with a whole bunch of merchandise, whether that's having our Lake Foundation logo on it, or we have a bunch with some slogans and stuff.
That's great. Anything else that you want to discuss regarding the event or the Lake Foundation that we may not have brought up?
Yeah, so I just think that it's important to mention that not only is it an opportunity for us to fundraise, but it's an opportunity for us to raise awareness for mental health. And I think we'll get to what those funds will bring to us, but the awareness aspect is probably the most important.
Do you feel that there's greater awareness now of mental health issues, that people are more inclined to share their mental health experience than, let's say, 5-10 years ago?
I do. I think there's still plenty of stigma on mental health, and we still have a lot of work to do there. But I think, surprisingly, I think one of the treasures, because every dragon in our life leaves some type of treasure behind.
Right.
I think the dragon of COVID left behind this mental health piece, because everyone's mental health worsened at the same time, and it drew attention to that, and that helped break that stigma a little bit.
I mean, after a while with COVID, you kind of like the being at home aspect of it, just kind of being away from it all. But then as the weeks and months drew on, you feel isolated and disconnected from coworkers. And one of the things I like about being here is interacting with my coworkers, as well as interacting with guests like you.
Yeah, absolutely. I spent a lot of time at home during those years, and it was not for me.
Okay.
It's not for me. The isolation, and like you said, the isolation is, it's troublesome. Mm.
Jeffrey Lake from the Lake Foundation talking about Unmasking Mental Health, a masquerade event. It's coming up on February 26th of 2025, a night of creativity and advocacy. It's going to be held at Constantino's in Clark Summit. Aside from Jeremy Luan, what else could we expect to see at this event?
We're going to have, like I said, we're going to have a fashion show that is a contest. So Jeremy is the special guest judge.
Good luck competing with him.
Yeah, so we have a lot of, we have a few entries already. Our deadline is December 15th. There's potential of extending that.
Okay.
But, so we're still looking for entries there as well. But we have quite a few going. We expect to also have Picture Perfect is going to be our entertainment for the night. Picture Perfect, the band.
Great band, yeah.
Yeah, they're excellent. They're going to be the entertainment for the night. They're going to MC the event.
Okay, you sound like you're in good hands again. Jeremy Luan and Picture Perfect. I don't know what more you can ask. Will there be people sharing their experiences at this, or is that something that's not really going to be included in this particular event?
So there will be a small presentation after the fashion show contest that will allow for some of that sharing.
Okay. That sounds great. Jeffrey Lake from the Lake Foundation talking about Unmasking Mental Health. It's a big event coming up February 26th of next year at Constantino's in Clark Summit. I appreciate you coming in and sharing your story with us here on Special Edition.
Thank you for having me.
Next up on Special Edition, I'll be speaking with Megan Pastoria about GM and OnStar teaming up to help us connect with Santa Claus. And I'll speak with former Reagan administration member Lisa Gable on downsizing and government efficiency. It's all coming up when Special Edition continues. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest this morning is Megan Pastoria from GM, talking about GM and OnStar connecting you to Santa Claus this Christmas. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning.
Tell us how GM and OnStar are going to connect us with Santa.
Yeah, so we at GM and OnStar, we're offering three different ways that you can follow and get in touch with Santa between December 16th and 24th. So any family with a Cadillac, Chevrolet, GMC, and Buick vehicle that is equipped and active with an OnStar plan, they can press their blue OnStar button to ask for Santa's location. Additionally, children can talk to Santa directly to make sure if they are on his nice list. They can share their wish list, have Santa read them a story, and on Christmas Eve, they can press the blue OnStar button to find out where Santa is in the world. Additionally, if you are not in your vehicle and you have our OnStar Guardian app, you can also follow Santa. If you're trimming your tree or you're caroling at any time, just open that Guardian OnStar app and you'll see the Santa hat icon to get started.
Wow. How does Santa feel about all this? Because he's used to watching everybody else. Is he taking to this okay about being in the spotlight himself where everybody can track his movements?
He loves it. We get to additionally bring joy to all our OnStar family out there to be able to connect with him quick and easily and share that holiday magic.
That's outstanding. This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes, speaking with Megan Pastoria, and we're talking about GM and OnStar teaming up to connect us with Santa Claus for the holiday season. Now, how long has this particular program been going on?
For 16 years, OnStar has collaborated with NORAD, the North American Aerospace Defense Command, to provide those real-time updates during Santa's annual flight, using NORAD's official Santa location.
Terrific. And I understand that GM and OnStar is contributing $1 to the American Red Cross, up to $30,000 for every OnStar customer request to locate Santa. So this is a win-win all the way around.
Yes, it's amazing. We've actually partnered with American Red Cross over the last 20 years for hurricane and disaster relief. So this is just another way that we can give back again, contributing $1 for every request to locate Santa, as you mentioned, up to $30,000.
So tell me, how many requests can you handle at a given time?
So we plan for this each year. It's something that our OnStar advisors love to do. So we make sure we've got the staff to take care of these calls with the increase. We typically get more than 100,000 requests during this time of year. So we make sure we plan accordingly so we can also make sure we're taking care of our members as well.
This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest is Megan Pastoria telling us about GM and OnStar teaming up to connect us with Santa Claus. Starts on December 16th and runs through Christmas Eve. Now, I can imagine the Christmas Eve volume, especially we get closer to that midnight hour, is probably going to be the heaviest in this connection.
Correct. It will be. And again, like I said, we plan accordingly for that because during Christmas Eve, you can actually find out exactly where Santa is in the world as he travels across the globe.
I wonder if you can tell us about some of the more unusual requests through this GM OnStar connection to Santa Claus that stand out in your mind.
So really, it's not so much the unusual request. It's, you know, speaking with the children at this time and seeing and hearing in their voices the excitement that they're able to follow Santa. And now they can actually talk to him and get a Christmas story. That really brings joy to us. It brings joy to our advisors to be able to take that time to spread a little holiday magic.
That is outstanding. GM and OnStar teaming up to connect families and especially kids with Santa, just in case, you know, they didn't quite get their whole list out. Yeah, when with the mall Santa, they may have stopped to see that they can actually connect with Santa through GM and OnStar. This is Special Edition. My guest is Megan Pastoria from GM OnStar, talking about connecting with Santa Claus through GM and OnStar. Their relationship started 16 years ago, and it'll be running through December 16th through the 24th. Now, what type of OnStar package would you need in order to participate?
You can have any one of our OnStar packages as long as you've got an active plan and one of our equipped vehicles. You'll be able to press that button and have the experience to talk to Santa.
Terrific. Now, how can we find out more about this connection between GM and OnStar to Santa Claus?
You can go to OnStar.com to get more information.
Okay. Anything else you want to let us know about regarding connecting with Santa Claus this time of the year?
I highly encourage anyone with an active OnStar plan to please, with your children, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, family and friends, press that blue button or use your Guardian app and experience this for yourself. You will truly be amazed.
All right. That's what a great gift that is. And I'm sure there are children all over the country, if not all over the world, customers of OnStar would greatly appreciate that. So it's more than just getting you out of difficulty when you're on the road. Now we can connect your families with Santa Claus. Megan Pastoria, I appreciate you joining us here on Special Edition, wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as well.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you as well, Brian. Thank you so much.
This is Special Edition. I'm Brian Hughes. My guest this morning is Lisa Gable, Wall Street Journal bestselling author of Turnaround, talking about government efficiency and downsizing. Downsizing is not one of those words too many employees want to hear about, but in some respects, maybe where the government's concerned, it may be necessary. Tell us all about it, Lisa.
Well, I'm excited about the ideas that are floating around right now, and I actually think it's a positive trend. What people need to remember is consolidation and modernization do not mean elimination. What they mean is identifying ways to bring goods and services to the American people in a more cost-efficient way.
Now, I understand you worked in the Reagan administration, so you have a handle on a lot of this. I remember a book that was out about 40 years ago called Burning Money. It was the Grace Commission report. And it seems like with Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy getting together, they're trying to revive that, how they can just go into the whole general budget and see what they can eliminate.
Right. One of the reasons that the Grace Commission was not as successful, I believe, is that we didn't have the technology we have today. Today, we have artificial intelligence. We have blockchain. We see countries like Estonia that have had e-government for 20 years. No one in Estonia under the age of 30 actually even knows there used to be government buildings. They're not standing in lines. They have their smartphones. They get a push from the government. They answer a question. They get whatever service that they need. That's where we have the opportunity to finally see Ronald Reagan's dream come true.
Interesting indeed. It's a special edition. My guest is Lisa Gable, here to talk about government efficiency and downsizing. Where do we start, I guess, is the real question. What parts of the budget do we need to go at first, and what maybe need a little more help?
Well, in every turnaround, what I advise people to do is start ranking and rating. Look at everything that you're currently spending money on. Look at the original purpose of the organization that it exists. Why did we start this organization in the first place? Are we accomplishing measurable objectives? And then begin to rank and rate the way that people are acting within that organization. And by doing so, I think they're going to go after what I call low-hanging fruit. Where are those opportunities where we have a great deal of redundancy, where we're not seeing measurable results, where we're actually keeping people away from innovation because we have regulation that's making it difficult for them to run their businesses? Go after the low-hanging fruit immediately, because you will be having bigger questions around Social Security, Medicare, SNAP, you know, the big conversations. But there's a lot of waste in government, and they could start doing things the moment they walk in the door.
I don't think anyone really wants to go and pay more in taxes than they need to, but to keep these programs going, if you've got five agencies doing the job of one, then, you know, if you can, without risk or anything to the public need, you can get rid of the other four, I suppose.
100%. I mean, the Department of Education, only 10% of the education budget goes to K-12. That means 90% goes either to post-secondary student loans, college loans, or it goes into research and grants. So you could actually make, when I was with Reagan, I worked on privatization of student loans, moving it back into the banking system so that you had people getting a loan, but you didn't have the government managing it, because the government doesn't manage those things well. A lot of the grant-making authority could actually go to the Department of Treasury just for the distribution of funds. So why do we need a government agency in Washington, D.C. on education when your tax dollars at the local level is actually what pays for your kids' education?
Now, tell me about your background in the Reagan administration. I see you were an ambassador as well as a turnaround expert.
Well, and under Reagan, I was at the White House, the Defense Department, but I started my career when I was 19 at the Department of Education on the privatization of student loans. Then I moved over to the Department of Defense doing technology transfer policy, again, looking at ways that we could continue to innovate, make American companies the strongest, the best and the brightest to attract people to the United States, but also not to give away our most valued technologies to the people who wanted to destroy us, like the Soviet Union. And then I transferred over to the White House. I was an ambassador under George W. Bush, where I led the first privatized U.S. engagement at a World's Fair in Japan. It's a $32 million operation. We did it all 100% with private donations.
That's pretty amazing. This is a special edition. My guest is Lisa Gable, Wall Street Journal bestselling author of Turnaround. What other innovations would you recommend to Elon Musk or Vivek Ramaswamy as they get started once Donald Trump is back in the White House on January 20th?
Well, first, get rid of redundancies. We have gone overboard with the number of academic research papers that we do. We have a plethora. And so you mentioned earlier that we have multiple departments and agencies working on exactly the same thing. And so whether it's climate change or obesity, we actually have multiple departments and agencies doing exactly the same research. Cut that first. And instead, look to the consumer, look to the American people and say, what can we do to reduce the burden of a disease that you might have, the burden of maybe a disability or that you've got, or the burden of your small business. They need to reduce the burdens for the American people. The American people have asked for that during the last election cycle. That needs to be job one.
Now, have there been any
adaptations of the Grace Commission suggestions from the report, and that's featured in the book Burning Money, that was actually implemented in the time that that came out till the present day?
Well, I think you had, you know, Reagan, I will never forget when he presented at Congress and he had those big sheets of paper that, you know, he was just like piling paper on a desk and saying, this is what the government regulation looks like. So we have cut regulation. But the problem is every time we go through another presidency, then we seem to add on more regulation. And so even the good that Ronald Reagan did in cutting regulation, he cut government waste at the Department of Defense. He put more money into building a 600-ship Navy. But today, instead, we're facing a very bloated Department of Defense, a very bloated regulatory system. And it's inhibiting our ability to keep Americans safe, secure, and economically prosperous.
Now, would you say the Defense Department may be the biggest division or part of the government that could be in need of trimming down a bit?
Well, I would say the Department of Defense, but also HHS is one of the largest, if not the largest, non-military-related expenditure that we have, and Americans aren't getting better. We're not getting better. So, in other words, we are spending a lot of money. Lots of money on research, lots of money on big ideas, but are we truly listening to the needs of the American people, those innovators that are out there coming up with new ways of delivering services to people who are ill? We're not doing that. And so HHS is actually one of the biggest places we could take to the chopping block.
Now, are you going to be involved in any way in the Trump administration regarding maybe helping out Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy with the project they're undergoing?
Well, right now I'm a cheerleader on the sidelines. I have my own personal mission is helping the next generation of leaders who are solving the world's biggest problems. I'm a little bit older, and so I'm very excited and have been mentoring a number of smart technology people, research and educators in the medical fields. I'm making sure that they have a voice at the table because those are the ones creating the solutions that will help my generation and that will help the next generation of leaders.
Lisa, where can we find out more information regarding government efficiency and downsizing and some of your work?
You can follow me at LinkedIn, but also look at lisagable.com. I actually have written a number of articles on this, and you can buy my book at Amazon, Walmart, Books a Million. It's Turnaround, How to Change Course When Things Are Going South, and speaks to turnarounds that I've done in business, government, and philanthropy.
And finally, what would your advice be for Americans who are a little bit leery about government cutbacks and then to the administration in general?
What I would say is, we're not talking about getting rid of all the services that are important to you. What we're talking about is delivering those services more efficiently to you. So now is the time, if you're part of a medical advocacy organization, an education organization, don't ask for more money. Instead, say, this is the specific need that we have. This is the burden of the disease, the burden of the educational system that's not solving our problems. We are a small business. Here's the government bureaucracy that we have to work our way through. Articulate how you want those services to be served up to you. You are the consumer. You are the customer. It's your tax dollars. You have a right to be at the table defining how you want to receive what you get from our government.
You've given us quite a bit to think about. Lisa Gable, the author of Turnaround, talking about government efficiency, downsizing, a former member of the Reagan administration and a U.S. ambassador. Appreciate you joining us this morning and discussing this with us here on Special Edition.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Next up on Special Edition, Nancy and Jason from the WILK Morning News speak with Bob Durkin from the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce, who has the local business community update. It's all coming up when Special Edition continues.
The local business community update. The local business community update.
For the last time in 2024, let's welcome back Bob Durkin, President, CEO of the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce.
Yeah, as always, great to be here. I cannot believe we've been doing this through the course of this entire year.
This is true. So 2024 soon will be in the books. We're looking obviously at 2025 for Northeast PA. You do an annual membership directory every year. It comes out in February and it's a great networking tool. You can get it. Think of it as a phone book for local businesses, but it's online as well. And you have a theme every year. What's this year's theme?
This year's theme is Dream Big.
Ooh.
And, Dream Big.
Yeah. And it really sort of, you know, we touch a few different notes with this one. Internally, of course, we speak about the chamber itself and our multiple affiliates. And then likewise, you know, thinking beyond that, not just, you know, looking at our the history of the region, that it, there's an awful lot of big dreams that have been fulfilled over the years, and some folks don't really realize that.
Yeah, because they grew up, if you're younger, and you've grown up with all of these places like Montage Mountain and the Rail Riders, which were the Red Barons. So we had thinking big that led us to where we are. There's other things as well. What do you look at as you look through Northeast PA that are concrete examples of how we were thinking big?
Results from dreaming big.
Yeah, Nancy, you just brought up a couple of them. I mean, but let's go back a little further and say Montage Mountain. Montage Mountain itself, you know, some now probably, I should have the date in front of me, but well, like 40 plus years ago, when it had been a watershed for Pennsylvania Gas and Water at the time, now PG, Pennsylvania American, and UGI separately, once they started putting in the filtration plants, and Nancy can appreciate this because she's been a native. Remember the GR diocese?
Oh, God, right? Yes.
So it was back. It was the problem that was created with, you know, the health concern related to that ultimately led to the filtration plants. And filtration plants allowed Pennsylvania American Gas and Water, and now Pennsylvania American, to divest themselves of some of these properties. So there sat Montage Mountain between Wilkes-Barre and Scranton, towering over Route 81, but nothing but a watershed. And it was the idea of creating a ski resort up there, which was the genesis of which was from the Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce. It was a spinoff group of leaders from the chamber who created Montage Inc. And with that, you know, built the early iteration of Montage as a ski resort. And now just look at it now. The plan then and the big dream then wasn't to build a ski resort. In fact, that was just a means to an end, right? Mm-hmm. So you see all of the development up there, the residential development, Glenmara, the, you know, the shops at Montage, all the corporate elements on Glenmara Corporate Boulevard, all of that stemmed from the big dream of saying, all right, let's do something with this mountain. And it started with Montage itself.
And it went to Red Barons, yep, which became Rail Riders. But and then, obviously, with Montage, we also then ended up with an amphitheater and a concert venue and just really great stuff.
It is interesting, too, because having grown up in New Jersey, I think I first heard of Montage as a ski resort. Yeah. People would travel up here and then later found out, wait, it's a concert venue, too? So, again, it started something that was just used for a completely different purpose, now had two different identities, both of which brought people to the area.
Yeah, and I would add three with the Rail Riders and, you know, AAA baseball. So, you know, all those pieces came together because of that first big dream to do something up at that mountain.
Right.
But, you know, again, you know, being the chamber guy, I also look back to economic development activities across northeastern Pennsylvania. So as I think I've mentioned in the past, through the Scranton Lackawanna Industrial Building Company, SLIBCO, our building arm of the chamber, we have built 15 different business and industrial parks across Lackawanna County. And that all happened post-World War II. So we're going back even a lot further than the Montage situation. But it wasn't just Lackawanna County, right? In Luzerne County, you have CANDU with Humboldt Park, Humboldt Industrial Park, which has been a tremendous success. You've had Hanover Industrial Park and Center Point more recently here, mm-hmm, Grimes Industrial Park in Pittston over the history. So the chambers across the region have been a part of the big dream with economic development. I mean, these were big investments at the time and to some degree risky investments for the chambers and their industrial development arms. But just look at all the jobs, look at all the businesses, look at the private investment. You know, hundreds of millions of dollars in private investment that's taken place because of that. Again, somewhere along the line, and I wasn't there,
right,
some leaders in different spaces across the region said, hey, let's do this. And I'm really off on a bad timeline here because I keep going back further in history. But how about, I still think about this. Think about the whole idea of Lake Wallenpaupack.
Right.
I mean, Lake Wallenpaupack didn't exist. It's a man-made lake. And somewhere along the line, PPNL back then, before PPL, when they were generating Energy decided to create a dam up there in, you know, that part of northeastern Pennsylvania. And they've basically bought all this incredible amount of land, dammed it up, and flooded it. And that's what Lake Wallenpaupack is. And think about, again, what's happened up there in that part of northeastern Pennsylvania, not just from a recreational standpoint, but economic development standpoint.
I mean, it's Field of Dreams. If you build it, they will come.
That's right. And so we're talking about, it's a work in progress all the time.
That's right.
So as you talk about what we've done in the past, things change. Things have been changing. And we have to be creative and try to be a step ahead. And dreaming big is, I guess, when you're in a room and you're all talking, you want to hear from everybody, and you say, like, no idea is crazy enough, right? Just let's brainstorm.
Yeah. And well, how about, again, we keep touching on these various things all over the northeastern Pennsylvania timeline. The medical school, you know, Geisinger Commonwealth School of Medicine now. Again, that was a group of community leaders meeting over breakfast over the course of a year or so that said, this would be a great idea. Let's try to make this happen. Big dream. Absolutely. 9 out of 10 people would have said, that's crazy. That's never going to happen. It's too expensive. It's too big. And yet it's been an incredible success and continues to be an incredibly important element of the overall healthcare scheme in northeastern Pennsylvania in terms of educating people, but also as an economic development engine. It's a big operation. And it's, you know, now that it's connected with Geisinger, it isn't just the medical college itself up on Olive Street in Scranton. It is connected, the educational components of Geisinger as a whole are interconnected there.
Right.
And so what's happening in Danville, what's happening in Geisinger Wyoming Valley, what's happening in a whole host of other areas across our region, all had its genesis with that group of business leaders sitting over coffee and scrambled eggs sometime, right. 15, 20 years ago and said, hey, do you think this big dream can be a reality?
So how do we do the, you talk about dream big, but is there, how do you deal with people who might have ideas? Do you actually have meetings, or is the public invited to, or business leaders invited to come up with ideas? I mean, I guess you have your own conversations, but how do you get people to talk about dreaming big and then, you know, giving you ideas on what they think would work?
Well, I would contend that the structure of our chambers of commerce are a starting point. So in other words, we have our chamber boards, and I say multiple chambers across northeastern Pennsylvania, where there are business leaders, community leaders, who are stepping up and saying, hey, we have to address this issue, or we have to address that issue. And it almost always seems to me, starts with, okay, what is the need? And the best way for these issues to play themselves out in a positive way is when there is a legitimate need that the community recognizes. For example, oftentimes people talk about, you know, downtowns, historic downtowns, back the iteration of downtowns from the 1940s, 50s, 60s, and into the 70s. And when the economy changed and strip malls and other retail operations were moving away from the downtowns, there was the panic of, well, what do we do? And people had different opinions, and they, you know, haggled over what should happen, and maybe they tried a little of this, a little of that, oftentimes sort of half-heartedly because they didn't have the consensus of the community behind them. And in the Pennsylvania Downtown Center, which is the statewide organization that deals with downtowns, one of the things that they often talk about when it comes to a central business district, just using this as an example, is you have to get to the point where it's a critical point. Everybody has to agree, all right, we see the problem. And until you get to that point, you really don't have a consensus. One small individual or group of people aren't necessarily going to be successful with the big dream if it's just their dream.
Right.
It has to be something that
gotta get buy-in.
That's right. The community needs to buy into these things. So these forums, Chamber of Commerce meetings and gatherings and the like, are one form. But we're lucky in this area because we have other entities. The Institute for Public Policy, Terry Oom's operation, I think, does a great job facilitating broad conversations. So if you look at the way the Institute operates, and I'm not here to do a commercial for the Institute per se, except to say that they're a great partner of ours. If you look at the way they're structured, they have really important subcommittees on a host of different topics, healthcare, housing, you know, and a number of other areas. And they have gathered individuals, leaders, people from all over northeastern Pennsylvania, not just from Wilkes-Barre or Luzerne County or Lackawanna County or Scranton. There are cross-sections of individuals from different groups that meet on a regular basis, And they have started a process which I think will help us dream big in the future. And that is helping identify the problems, bringing together, you know, a cross-section of leaders with ideas, using their talents, which is research, you know, that's what they do best, to develop white papers and to do studies of best practices elsewhere in the country. You know, in other words, we have an issue with housing, we have an issue with childcare, we have an issue with something else, and we're not alone. So let's see who else is working on those issues and find the best practices. That can become the genesis of the next big idea.
Bob Durkin, CEO, President, Greater Scranton Chamber of Commerce. This has been the Local Business Community Update. Again, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, all that good stuff to you and your family. And we'll talk again in 2025. That doesn't even sound real.
And the same to you and your family, Jason.
Thank you for joining us this week on Special Edition. Special Edition is a weekly public affairs presentation of Odyssey Wilkes-Barre. I'm Brian Hughes. Thanks again for listening.